John chapter 14, and we're going to begin to continue our study. This morning, the title of the message is The Promise of the Holy Spirit. And if you're new, God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning as we're standing and reading the Word of God. But we're a ministry that teaches not just from it, but we teach through the Bible. So on Wednesday, or on Sunday, we're in John's Gospel. Wednesday, we're in Proverbs. In John chapter 14, verse 15 is where we left off. Jesus speaking, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Father, we do commit again in prayer the teaching of the Word of God. We pray for your blessing and anointing. Open our hearts, God. We can receive your word gladly. Help us, God, through the Holy Spirit to understand the promise that you have for us today. Give us a willingness ahead of time. As we have ears to hear what the Spirit says, many times there's things that you want to work out in our life based upon your truth. We want to be obedient to what you say. We pray for your grace in that process in Jesus' name. Amen. He may be seated, please. So the Gospel of John, as we go through it, we realize that we're in a very unique spot. In chapter 13, we began 14, 15, 16, 17. It's the end of Jesus' ministry. He has just about 24 hours. It's taken about 3 years to get to chapter 12. And then this is just a personal time where he's talking to his disciples. But I recognize that every follower of Jesus Christ, you also are his disciple today. Many times people want to know, you know, what religion are you? And I would say Christian, but I would say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I believe in the Word of God. And I want to make that distinction in a conversation with somebody so they know more clearly where I'm coming from and what might be communicated to them. We're living in crazy days, and certainly with governments and voices that are out there, people are wanting you to follow all kinds of ideology, all kinds of political direction. And people are just downloading things like crazy to try to capture your heart and your mind. And it's interesting when I think about our nation, and we have trouble trying to shoot down a balloon from China. I'm not looking for you to provide and protect me for eternity. I'm looking to Jesus Christ. When we look at a Supreme Court justice that doesn't know what a woman is, I'm looking to Jesus for truth from his word. We look at physicians and they can't calculate XX and XO. They just don't know how that works out. I'm looking to Jesus. He is the physician of my life. College professors don't know how to read a map to determine someone's homeland. Israel's homeland is a noted destination. And I'm not looking to the UN or Washington, D.C. or Washington State. We're looking to Jesus Christ. We're looking to him. We're not looking to the Calvary Chapel. We're not looking to Pastor Tom. We're looking to the Lord to lead our lives more than ever before. And I think these days that we're living in, we need to be combat ready in a sense to really be strengthened in the Word of God and the power of his Holy Spirit. And Jesus is helping his disciples at this time. Remember in chapter 14, Jesus continuing that ministry in the upper room, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And you think, well, why would their heart be troubled? And that's a great question, because he said earlier in chapter 13 that he is going to be going away from them. Where I'm going, it says in chapter 13, verse 36, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterwards. So when they heard this news, it's something that didn't resonate with them. What do you mean? Jesus, You're our king. You're going to take over. You're going to lead us. We're going to conquer Rome. We've already decided, unbeknownst to you, we've been arguing on the side about who's going to be the key positions in your coming kingdom. We're debating against ourselves about that. So we've got it kind of worked out. So what do you mean you're leaving? So that's the news that was given to them. And we went through those first 14 verses. And in verse 15, he begins to communicate things that will deepen our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, our love for him and our love for others. He says in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this idea of keep, it would be a habit, a lifetime of obedience to the Lord. That's what he's saying. It's to know him is to love him, and to love him is to obey him. We got married in 1978, and it's interesting because shortly thereafter, I don't know, it wasn't too long, I didn't realize how much emotions my wife had. I don't think there was full disclosure prior to getting married. And it's not her fault, I mean, but I grew up with 11 of us, my mom and dad, 9 brothers and sisters, 11 of us living in a 1,600 square foot house in L.A. County. So there wasn't a lot of emotion. I mean, if you had emotion, go on your Stingray and go for a ride. I mean, there wasn't time to accommodate emotions. So when I got married, and it's just like tears, waterfalls, frequently. I'm not used to this. What did I do wrong? Or how can I fix it? Don't even say fix it. Okay. Well, I didn't have a clue. And 45 years later, I'm still learning. But in the very beginning, I think that the Lord helped me, and I needed his help, and I still need his help. Because as he says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, he's not directing us back to Exodus 20, where Moses is given the Ten Commandments. He's already communicated to us in chapter 13. He says in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that if you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So I had to begin to realize something that the Lord knew all along, how wickedly selfish I was, and to just deal with that. Even though I wouldn't think of that, I would think of myself as Eddie Haskell. Only a few people know that, but anyways, a nice guy. But deep in my heart, so much of me and myself. And God has allowed, through marriage, an opportunity for me and every husband to die to ourselves and learn how to love our wives like Christ has loved the church. And it's out of obedience to the Lord. My wife doesn't give me a list of commandments to obey. The Lord has said, if you love your wife, you're keeping my commandments. And so verse 15, he's helping his disciples realize the journey ahead is going to be one where we need to be dependent upon him for the kind of love for others that represent him. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he might abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So what he's communicating to the disciples and to us this morning, we cannot live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is physically, literally with these disciples. They're like Velcro together. Every situation that they get themselves into, Jesus gets them out of the situation. Every time that they're falling short, he intervenes. Even to the end where Peter cuts off a servant's ear with a sword. I mean, that could have got him capital punishment. And he's supposed to be the leader of the church. It's just like Jesus picks up the ear and puts it back on, and there's no incriminating evidence left. I mean, it's what Jesus does. My sins are great, but his mercy is greater. I was thinking back and very shameful, but living a very ungodly life. And I remember in college going to a party that I wasn't invited to with some friends, and was asked to leave. I'm not sure all the details, nor do I want to explore them too deeply, but when I was leaving, the guy that had the party at this executive type of house had a brand new Corvette. In the movie, Billy Jack had just been released, and that was the guy that does karate, and everybody thinks they can do karate. So I karate chopped his antenna on the Corvette, which went flying. It was not a good thing to do. And I can remember him grabbing me, hauling me in the back. My face is going across the cement of the swimming pool in the backyard, and he wants to drown me. It's like, and I just call out to my friend, and his name was Beef, and I just yelled, "Beef!" He's big and strong, and he came running in the back and pulled me off, and we left. I'm not happy about the story. In my Christian life, I can't make it. And I don't call out for Beef. I call to the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God is the helper, the paraclete, the one that comes alongside of, the Spirit of truth, many names, the comforter, the helper. And he comes alongside, and that's what it is, come alongside. We can't do it. And these disciples are saying to Jesus, "Don't leave. We can't make it without you." And he says, "It's good that I go, because I'm relegated geographically to just a, you know, to where we're at and where I'm at. But when I leave, I'm coming to you in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God." He's communicating this in chapter 14. They have no idea of this concept. The only idea of the Holy Spirit they had before this was occasional visitation. For example, on David. And David realized that it would be a limited visitation. "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Even on Samuel, he says, "I didn't realize that the Spirit of God had departed from me." So the Spirit of God came upon people, some people at specific times, but, and then that was it. And Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and be with you and never leave you and be there for you. And you can depend upon it. It's me in the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And you're not going to be somebody that has no father. I've adopted you into the family. You're my child. You're not an orphan. I've adopted you. I'm going to the cross. And he's communicating these truths to his disciples. And this relationship, as you'll notice in verse 16 that we read, that he may abide with you forever. And this helper, this comforter, he's going to abide with you forever. And this happens. Now, it did not happen yet for them, but it would. He was telling them it's going to happen. He says, as we get the full context, I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to die for the sins of the world, for your sins, and I'm going to be buried in a grave. And I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to conquer death, darkness, and the evil one. I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to present myself alive from the dead over 40 days. I'm going to make many appearances, and then I'm going to depart to heaven. And after about 10 days or 50 days from his resurrection, it's called Pentecost, then the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and be with you. And it'll be for you. It'll be for your children. It'll be for every generation to come out of Acts chapter 2. And so he's trying to teach them this. They have no concept of it. And I think that the church probably needs to hear this word from God to really understand and realize that you're not alone. And loneliness is a difficult thing in the day and time which we live. And we're dealing with personal failings. At this time, prayer, and Jesus is showing us how to pray to the Father, but really they had one day of prayer, a big prayer, you know, in the temple once a year. And he's saying to them, it's going to change. You can come 24/7 at any time to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. And he's telling us in verse 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. And this helps us out. So when we're living in this world right now, you see things. It's just like it's crystal clear to you. A situation, and you've got a leader making laws and financing with your money things that are, don't you get it? Don't you see it? Well, what you're doing is wrong. It's ungodly. You don't see it. And of course they don't, because they're not born again. You're born again. So you have the Spirit of truth, and you see things right away. You're alert. There's discernment. There's understanding, and you're aware that something's not right. And it's because the Lord is making that known to you. And it's hard for us, but the world can't receive it because they don't know them. They have no idea who Jesus is and who the Word of God is. I mean, to have people speak out about the new Speaker of the House, John, he's a believer. And he prayed. He prayed in the name of Jesus, and he quotes from the Bible. And you to hear the response of people, it's just like he's a terrorist. I mean, this is like, I mean, their idea of what it is. And it's righteousness being spoken. It's righteousness that will lead us from darkness into the light. But when you're in the darkness, you're so offended by that. And we see this happening before us. And again, I love in 18, verse 18, that he will not leave us as orphans, that he has adopted us into his family. And what a great joy that is, to be adopted into the family of God. Continue with me in verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. So he's telling them in verse 19, there is going to be a day coming, and it's basically the next day from this upper room discourse. It's the next day he's going to be put on a cross. And it's just like, we're done with him. All the powers of darkness and evil of this world, Satan behind it all, wanting to crucify the Lamb of God. He gave his life. He volunteered his life for our sins. And he's going to rise from the dead. Verse 20, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. What he's bringing us into is a place of fellowship. What he's saying to us today is, as Jesus is praying to the Father, asking for his help, submitting, not my will, your will be done, understanding the calling and the purpose God had on his life, and calling upon the Father, and this relationship between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he's inviting us to be a part of that. He's inviting us. The same Father that he was praying to, we pray to the Father. We pray in Jesus' name. We call out to the Lord. He who has commandments, keep them. And he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So he's telling us in this relationship that we have with him, how important that this relationship is, and that he's with us and he's for us. And there's this experience of the love of God. And the world is looking for this kind of love, this love from God. And we need and desire that. And Jesus, he'll provide all that we need. Listen now, whatever difficulty you may be facing, and you have feelings, you may feel like you've been abandoned by others. Maybe friends, relatives, spouses, classmates, maybe the church. Maybe you got bad news from the doctor right now. Maybe you're experiencing the pain and the loss and the grieving of a loved one. Whatever it may be, there is a comforter, there is a helper, and the Lord is there for you and for me in my time of need. Where would we be without the Lord? He's there with us. And we need to receive this truth today. And we have to believe what God said. So God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? God won't abandon you. You may feel abandoned, but he has not abandoned you. He is your helper. He's with you. I mean, we got back after, we flew into L.A., and I grew up in L.A. I worked downtown L.A. all through college. I'm familiar with that. But when you're not down there and driving in it on a date, I was out of tune, man. It's just like, whoa. And when I got home, we got back, and I just was telling Pam, I just think the mercy of God was with me amongst those millions of other people on the road, and just all the variable circumstances. God's with us. And I don't think we realize, I certainly don't, I don't realize how often he takes care of me. I need to thank him for things that just generally saying, God, you are there for me. You're protecting me. You're helping me. You're seeing me through. And I'm thankful for that. It's not a new law he's given them to keep. He's basically saying, I am love. This is eternal love. Embrace this love that I have for you from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need this Holy Spirit experience with him. Pastor, I get a little confused regarding the Holy Spirit. You're not alone. I think there's great confusion within the church and the body of Christ. Some have taken the Holy Spirit and have run with it into very charismatic extremes. And I've been in many extremes just to try to understand, to visually see and try to understand. Many of them are very, brothers and sisters in the faith. They just are practicing things that are unbiblical, but they love the Lord. Other Christians try to live out the Christian life in the absence of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do God's work without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need it. And so the question comes up, well, when you're saved, when you're born again, when you ask Christ into your life, is that when the Holy Spirit, who will dwell within you, comes in you? Yes, that's very true. So there's an experience. The Holy Spirit is with you. The reason we have come to faith in Christ is because the Holy Spirit convicted me of sin. Who led us to Jesus Christ? God used many people and many people praying, but the answer is the Holy Spirit convicted me of sin and directed me to the cross of my Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit works with us to convict us of sin. When I accept Jesus Christ, his salvation, the Holy Spirit comes within me. So he's with me, and now he's in me. So with me and in me. But then there's an experience of the Holy Spirit upon us. That these disciples, as you go through the book of Acts, they were there. Jesus breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. They were there on the day of Pentecost. Visibly, they experienced this power of the Holy Spirit. They were able to communicate the gospel message to great numbers of people in languages that they understood. And the Holy Spirit was upon them. And then as they moved out in ministry, you'll see in the book of Acts, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. So, Pastor, I take issue with you. I believe that there's just one blessing of the Holy Spirit. There's not a second blessing of the Holy Spirit. There's a one blessing of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for being saved, and there was a tremendous blessing of the Holy Spirit coming inside a born-again believer. What a blessing that is, that he never leaves us and he's with us. But my dear brothers and sisters, not only do I believe in a second, I believe in a third, a million, a trillion blessing of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit of God. I need to call upon the God. I need to say, God, I'm helpless without you, and I need you. And many times it's just in faith. It's not like, or something. I got it. It's like, that's not the Holy Spirit that I serve. I mean, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. So there's this experience with the Holy Spirit, and he's saying to these disciples, he's saying, I'm leaving. You can't go. I must go. No, stay. Set up your kingdom. There is no kingdom now. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die on the cross for your sins. You guys are sinners. If I don't go to the cross, you're going to hell. So I'm going to the cross. Okay, go to the cross. Sounds good. When will we see you again? Oh, 3 days, okay? I'm going to just be gone for a little sabbatical, be back 3 days. He'll rise from the dead, show himself to be alive to the world. And they just gather around. They don't want him to leave. And he says, I'm still going to leave. No. Because if I leave, then the promise of the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. It's a promise that he's given to them. These are his men, and you are his men and women for today, for these last days in which we live. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot. And I love that in my Bible. It's in parentheses. But just think, he was tagged with that name. And always, I'm not the betrayer. I'm just this. And some would say his name was also Thaddeus. Said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So what he's saying is, Judas, not Iscariot, is saying, how are we going to see this? And it's the outpouring of the love of God. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then love is described in many ways after that. And it's going to be these lives that are radically changed by the Lord. We get together on Friday morning with some men at 6 o'clock, and we're finished right around 7. And it's been we're part of a group of 50 people with our men and women and others going through Galatians. Great time. But this last week, as people were leaving, this car drove up and a woman got out, and I met her out on the patio area there. Nice lady I've never met before, and just seemingly touched. And I wasn't sure what the situation might be, and just said, how can I help? And she said, I just have something to say to you. And I goes, what is it? She goes, I just want to say thank you for putting that sign out there about your support for Israel. You don't know how much that means to me. And that was it. And just to think about when the scripture's saying, you know, you live out your love for God. So we love Israel. We love God. We love what God loves. God loves the nation Israel. We express our love for Israel. That sign is a step of obedience. It's, you know, I remember sitting in bleachers watching a game with my daughter, and I was saying, hey, I think I want to do this. She says, well, why don't you put a banner up? And while we're sitting there, we kind of watched the game, but kind of created what we want, maybe for a banner, sent it to one of our guys, and he made it, and we had it the next day. But it's just, I mean, because God was in it. And that's what he's saying, is that you're going to see God manifest in your life when you keep his word. And people may say, I'm not experiencing God. I'm not experiencing the joy of God. I'm not experiencing the presence of God. I mean, it just seems like God is far from me right now. So we need to just approach it from the word of God. And first is just to in a sense, be humble and say, God, there is this sense of distance. I don't know what the situation is. So you confess to the Lord, I want to draw close to you. Many times we're in a place that we're not abiding in the word of God. We're not keeping the word of God in that relationship with him. And he's drawing us to be with him. He says in verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper. So the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. So we depend upon the Holy Spirit. And these men, as they go forward, they're going to recall, because the Holy Spirit's going to help them recall this upper room discourse and the parables and the teaching of Jesus. The Holy Spirit does that. He does it in you as well. You can be meeting with somebody and you know you have God's word in you, but all of a sudden, after you leave this conversation, you communicated things like, it's just like, I don't know where that came from. It's just like, it came from the Lord. It came from the Holy Spirit. And he gave you direction, and he gave you words to share. In verse 27, and we need to hear this today, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We will not have world peace until the Prince of Peace comes. So just get that settled in your mind. There'll never be peace in the Middle East. It's going to end up heading towards Armageddon at some point. So when you understand the Bible, you know that. But we have the Prince of Peace. And so we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, ruling in our hearts and in our lives. And what a great blessing that is to have his peace with us. Isaiah 26:3. Speaking about the Lord, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Brothers and sisters, we trust Jesus. We trust his word. And there is a peace of God that surpasses understanding because of that. And we would love to see there to be a sense of godly order in this world, but it's not going to happen until Jesus Christ reigns and rules, the Prince of Peace. The last few verses, 28. You've heard me say, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because it says, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now, I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world, Satan, is coming, and he has nothing in me. That the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. So they're in the upper room discourse. He's saying to them, I got a little time left, which is less than a day. It's a matter of hours at this point. And you're not going to see me, but what's going to happen is, you're going to experience the promise of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper, the one that will come alongside of you. You'll be blessed in this relationship, and you'll be able to fulfill what I have for you. And so they're living it out. He's telling them what is happening. He's saying, arise, time to go. He's going to head out of this upper room discourse in a short while, and he's headed to the cross. And he's going there for you and for me. And notice again when he said, the ruler of this world, verse 30, that is Satan. Satan's desire has always been to rule the world and rule your life. But he is a conquered foe. But he still, you know, we battle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in the heavenly places out of Ephesians 6. But we take great hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, let me pray here. Father in heaven, we're grateful just to be together. Thank you for your word and the promise that you give to us in your word today. The promise of the Holy Spirit. And it's something that we don't earn, we don't deserve. It's something that you give to us. It's called the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thank you that every believer in Jesus Christ has been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we thank God that everyone here who's a believer, the Holy Spirit lives within you. You're his child. He's adopted you. You'll never be an orphan. You'll never be alone. He's always there with you and for you. He's always available to pray and to comfort and to help. We thank you for that. Help us to experience how to depend upon you and call out to you and call for your empowerment as we take on the things that you asked us to do. It's not by our power, it's not by our might, but it's by the Holy Spirit of God. And I do pray for anyone here or listening, if this is new information to you, perhaps you're not born again. Perhaps you're not born of the Spirit. And what that means is to come to Christ even now and say, God, I am sorry. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against many other people. I ask for your forgiveness, and I receive this free gift from Jesus Christ. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection, I too can be saved. I too can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I too can live a life that glorifies my Father. I too can be ready for heaven, a place prepared. So we commit that to you in Jesus' name.